Dave Fanning on 2FM.
Now, in a couple of months, we'll be into festival season. And who better to talk about festivals than the king of festivals himself, Mr. Mark Graham. Now, he's been on with us before talking about the Irish festivals, the two be after happening or just about to be happening or whatever. But Mark, you're here today to talk about some of the, let's say, offbeat festivals around the world. Give us an example, like weird ones, I don't know.
Yeah, some odd ones that happen around the place. We have a few here, but we can go, I suppose, a bit further afield. There's a place in Spain, in the north of Spain, a town called El Puig. And in El Puig, they have a rat throwing festival. I know you love these weird ones, don't you?
I thought you were going to go into some weird stuff like kind of, you know, Burning Man or something.
No, no, straight in at the bottom of the bottom of the ladder here. Rat throwing festival.
Are they alive?
No, they're dead, but they used to be alive. The tradition here is that they...
Once you threw them, they died.
Yeah, well, no, they packed them into these things. They call them cucañas, which are like piñatas. So they're these things they hang up and they hammer them
with
sticks.
That's awful.
But what happened a couple of hundred years ago were that they didn't have sweets and chocolate to put in these things. So what they put in them were grains and fruits. And rats figured out that this was a good place to go and get a feed.
Oh, I thought you were going to say they put rats in the thing.
Well, they do now. But the reason they do it now is because when they started this festival first, there was one year when they got infested with rats. And when they hit these piñatas, rats started to fall out of them. So to add to the merriment, they started to throw the rats at each other. And ever since then, they've commemorated that wonderful festival by putting dead rats into these things and then they throw them at each other.
That's, this is the same country that has bullfighting and does the bull run.
Oh, come here. There's another one. And I suppose that in Spain, at least they don't keep all the cruelty to animals. They're cruel to each other as well. There's a town called Entroida. And that festival, Entroida, is in Laza. And what they do there is they throw muddy rags at each other for the duration of that festival. So you go around with a bag of muddy rags and you fire them at each other's faces for the duration of the festival. And if that weren't enough, there are young people who have sacks of fire ants that they've poured vinegar on just to make them a little bit more angry, and they'll throw those at you too.
Jimmy, I thought you were good. I didn't know. I thought I might go downhill. We're at the very bottom from the very start.
We are. Do you want to go back to music festivals?
Do whatever you like.
Talk a bit about those as well.
Rat throwing festival.
Yeah, these are kind of the weird ones that they have. You know, they are festivals that probably don't get as much coverage as Benicassim, maybe,
in
Spain.
Maybe not. You know, I think I'll avoid El Puig.
Yeah, that's the rat throwing one. I'd be avoiding that too. They have another one that, and this actually, I've seen this being talked about on the television. A festival called El Colacho, and El Colacho is in the village of Castrillo de Murcia. And what they have there is a baby jumping festival. So all the babies that have been born in the previous 12 months, they line them up on mattresses in the town, and then they get the men of the town to dress as a devil and jump over the babies, and that's the festival.
Sorry?
Yeah, I know.
So, by saying sorry with the question mark, I don't really want you to repeat all that. That's bizarre. Okay, so you jump over babies as the devil.
Yeah, you jump over, they dress as the devil and they jump over babies, which seems like kind of an evil Knievel. It's kind of doubling up on the evil Knievel thing. And there are accidents at that festival, but thankfully none of the babies have been hurt. It's usually the people who are doing the jumping that damage themselves.
Usually.
Yeah, usually. I don't know, would you be confident leaving a baby down and letting some fella jump over it at a weekend and he's dressed as a devil?
Is this going to get madder, or are you are we getting back?
It'll get madder and it'll get a bit well, when I say normal, I don't know, will it get normal? In the States, they have some of these festivals as well. They have in Alaska, in North America, a moose dropping festival. So it's moose droppings or moose poo. And what they do is they bring it up in hot air balloons and they try and hit targets with it from the sky.
Right.
So there are large amounts of moose droppings being thrown out of hot air balloons.
Reminded me of Burt Reynolds. Again, I mentioned that. He was with us on the programme only
story.
A few years ago.
That's
just
a
before he dies.
Story.
And he goes over the National Enquirer with about like 4 tons of cow poo or whatever, and splat right down on top of the building.
It's better than bringing them to court. It must be very satisfying.
Absolutely.
To be able to do
it
something
really
like
must,
that.
Yeah.
In Wisconsin, a similar thing, they have a cow chip throwing festival. Now, a cow chip is a cow pat, but they take these cow pats and they try and toss them as far as they can, and whoever throws it the furthest wins this part of
when
the
you
festival.
Say they take it, what does that mean?
They pick it up and they throw it like a frisbee. Okay. 248 feet, Dave.
That sounds
record.
Like a lot of feet for a cow pat.
I'd say you've seen this one, have you? In Gloucester, they have the cheese rolling festival.
Oh, yeah.
Have you
I
seen
have.
That?
Yeah.
Like, famous. They
it's like that ad on telly for healthcare or something. People roll down a hill.
This would be a good ad for healthcare as well, or right. health insurance, because they get busted up doing this every year. They tried to health and safety it back in 2010, and they tried to make it a much safer event because people get pretty bad injuries at this. So for anyone who might know, is they get a huge wheel of cheese and they roll it down this hill in Gloucester. It's Cooper's Hill.
And they follow and the cheese.
They follow the cheese. They run after the cheese. And it's the tradition was, and this is going on since the 15th century, the tradition was that the first person down after the cheese gets to keep that wheel of cheese. That's what it's meant to be about.
Wait a minute, your cheese has to get to the bottom and you have to get there too.
They roll the cheese and you run down after the cheese. The cheese usually gets to the bottom before any of the people who roll down after it. But they get serious spinal injuries, and there's usually a whole load of ambulances waiting at the end of the hill. And when they tried to stop it, there was a kind of a mini revolution in the town, because they wanted people to pay an entry fee to go and see it. They wanted to make it a safer event for people to take part in. And the people of the town said, no, this is ours. People have been doing this for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
So they went and did it themselves.
They call
anyway.
It running the cheese.
Running the cheese. Yeah, like, yes.
So Brockworth, where is that place?
Or that's in Gloucester. Oh, right, and it's okay. The place is called Cooper's Hill. There's a this one is in the UK as well, and this is a burning tar barrel festival, and this takes place on Guy Fawkes Night, and it's been going on for so long, hundreds of years, that they don't really know why they're doing it anymore. It takes place in Devon, and on Guy Fawkes Night, what they do is they strap barrels of tar onto their backs.
That'll be November the 5th.
November the 5th, no, yeah. And they set them on fire and they run through the towns, and when they get too tired, they pass the barrel onto somebody else, who then runs around with a barrel of flaming tar on their back. Rat throwing sounds a bit safer.
Sounds
that.
Like some kind of a torture out of Game of Thrones.
It does, doesn't it? It's weird, and it goes back so far, they're not really sure what the origins of that are. That's going on for hundreds of years around Devon. Similar to the burning tar barrel, this is another carrying of objects festival. This one takes place in Finland, in a place called Sonkajärvi. Now, God only knows how you pronounce that. I don't know, but it looks like Sonkajärvi in Finland. And you may have heard of this. This is called the Wife Carrying Festival, and they have the Wife Carrying World Championships. There's a genius to this that I kind of like. The heavier your wife, the more you win if you win the race, because what they do is...
What do you win?
Beer. The weight of the wife in beer, that's what you win. So it kind of, you know, you'd say, well, if somebody had a very light wife, it would mean that they'd win the race, but they wouldn't get as much beer. So the heavier the wife, the more beer you get for winning the race, which I think that's kind of the genius
of
that one.
That kind of makes sense. All right. Where is this in Finland?
That's in Finland. I've seen it pop up in Yall in County Cork. They had a version of it in Yall in County Cork. I don't know that they get the beer at the end of it, but
officially, or like at 11:30 at night?
Oh, it was, you know, it was official. Yeah, it was on a festival program, the Moby Dick Festival in Yall in County Cork. It was part of that. Yeah.
A wife carrying world championships.
Wife carrying, yeah.
Okay.
A lot of this stuff, and kind of the stuff that we're talking about, it was inspired by an article that I saw recently in The Guardian, and it was this Wastelands Festival that they have in the Mojave Desert in California. And it's one of these festivals, I think Burning Man that you mentioned, and I think Coachella falls into this bracket as well, is that some of these festivals are becoming very what's called Instagrammable, and are becoming very popular because festival organisers...
Well, Burning Man is two things. It's not a music festival at all.
It does have music added.
Oh, no, it does, but not really.
Yeah.
And also, I think Silicon Valley, not too far away, was taken over and having kind of special VIP areas and all that.
Yeah.
The Omens put the kibosh on that,
it's
I think.
It was very moneyed there for a while. The idea of Burning Man, which is a really good idea, and similar to this Wasteland Festival as well, is that the people who go to the festival are the entertainment at the festival. They provide the entertainment. But you do get DJs who go to the festival, and you do get bands who go to the festival and perform, but it's more meant to be a community thing. But what has happened is that it has become very photographable or Instagrammable, and festival organisers around the world have realised that the more photographable your festival becomes, the more free advertising you get from it. And I think something like Altogether now, last year there was the Arcadia DJ box, which had a flamethrower coming out the top of it, and that showed up in pictures all over social media. And Electric Picnic this year has a new area added as well, and that area, you know, they're saying that it's going to be like a little village in and of itself. It's called Freetown, and very much on the model of things like Boomtown in the UK. And Boomtown for my money, is even better than Glastonbury now. But it has a very themed thing to it, and it becomes much more photographable because you have actors who are taking part in these installations that are in the heart of the festival, and the festival becomes kind of like a themed performance rather than just a festival as well, and that stuff gets lots of photographs taken of it.
Well, an Instagrammable, have you seen the Fire Festival documentary on Netflix? Okay, yeah, like, I mean, the whole of that was Instagrammable from the word go, in terms of the most beautiful models, and then the whole thing just
collapsed
and then
it fell asunder.
But there are what do you call it, travel agents, if they still even exist, selling holidays, and one of the first things they sell is not how good the weather might be, or the beach might be, or the hotel might be, how Instagrammable the town might be.
And I've read it about restaurants, how Instagrammable the food is. I'd like to know how tasty it is.
Mad Ted.
Yeah.
What about Nether Regions type festivals?
There's lots of those. Yeah. I mean, the really famous one, I suppose, is the one that you get in Japan, and that's Kanemaru Matsuri, Penis Festival in Japan, where there are phallic symbols everywhere. It focuses on the penis and celebrates the penis, and everywhere you go in this town in Japan during the festival, there are things. Oh God, erected all over the place. I'm sorry, but you know, don't be surprised to find people in costumes that are shaped like penises eating penis-shaped food, phallic lollipops, are posing with statues. Very Instagrammable.
And of course,
imagine, you know,
the ancient tradition of promoting fertility is at the. That's what it's about.
Sometimes it does kind of look like a hen night in Kilkenny, it's done a bit more tastefully than that. I think.
I see. Give us another one.
There is one called, in Mexico, I kind of like this one, and this is one that's, you know, we've had animal cruelty, we've had the phallic symbol, this is one that may appeal to any vegans who are listening. Night of the Radishes in Mexico, and although it sounds like some kind of horror film, you know, a bit like Attack of the 50-foot woman, but Night of the Radishes is actually a festival celebrated the night before Christmas throughout Mexico, where street vendors get specially grown oversized radishes and sculpt them into interesting shapes. That's what at the heart of that festival, a kind of a traditional festival as well.
I see, in Mexico.
One that's that you do see that is Instagrammable as well, but is based in ancient traditions, is Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead celebrations in Mexico. And that's what's interesting about that is that kind of borrows from our culture, from the Iasaun culture, Halloween, where you invite spirits to come back. And even though a lot of the, you know, Disney have made cartoons and animations that feature that imagery.
Coco, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think, and also, what do you call it, the last Bond movie, the first 10 minutes.
And it's really striking imagery. But at its core, there is a kind of a pagan celebration that we also celebrate, that are kind of, they're very related to each other, where you invite spirits to come back for one night. And you celebrate with the spirits for one night, you know, that door between our world and the spirit world is open for one night. And I think a lot of these celebrations, you know, that we talk about, some of them being Instagrammable and some of them get commercial, and a lot of them do have a commercialness at their core. But deep down, some of them are based on religious festivals, very, very old religious festivals, like pagan religious festivals. Even Puck Fair, that goes back more than 400 years, that festival in County Kerry. You know, that's a really old festival.
What about the Fiesta de Santa Marta de Ribartim Festival of Near-Death Experiences?
Yeah.
That's a near-death one.
That's a near-death and that's, you know, some of this is really deep-rooted in religion. What they do there is that anybody who's had a near-death experience during the year, they put them in a coffin and they bring them into the church. And the reason for that is that they're kind of given thanks that I nearly died, but I didn't. So thanks very much to whatever saint or whatever god it is that they worship, but it is deeply rooted in Catholicism. So thanks and praise for not actually kicking the bucket, but nearly kicking the bucket.
Okay, there's just a couple of last ones that I want to mention, which is the Henley on Todd, the regatta in Australia.
I love that one. The Aussies have a great sense of humour sometimes. And what this does is very much pokes fun at regattas and boat races, like the classic Cambridge Oxford boat race in the UK. But it's based, the Henley on Todd regatta is based in Alice Springs, you know, a famously dry part of Australia, and they run it on a dry riverbed, and that's what they actually do. They run it. They have boats that have no bottoms in them. So what they do is you get a crew in this boat, and the boats are in all different shapes and sizes that they make, and they're inside the boat that has no bottom. Then they lift up the boat up to their waist, and then they run.
Like the Flintstones or something.
Like the Flintstones in a boat, yeah, on a dry riverbed. It's just an excuse for a session. That's what it is, you know, and it's a wonderful excuse for a session. Yeah, as a lot of these festivals are, and even the really old ones.
Well, listen, the last one I want to mention is this one that's in Thailand. I'd like this one, you know, the water pistol one.
Yeah, and it started again as a religious thing, where it was water would be thrown. But with the advent of super soakers and water pistols, it's a day spent and the country goes into water fight mode in a wonderful, fun kind of a way. And do you know what's really nice about that as well is that you can do that without it costing you money. And it's meant for people to enjoy themselves. And part of some of these festivals is meant to be about bringing communities together to celebrate something and to maybe have fun with something as well. And that water fight in Thailand that they do every year all around the country, that sounds like great fun.
Are you going to be King Kong accompanying?
Yes, we're at festivals all over the summer.
You'll be playing loads?
Yeah, Ireland and the UK. Yeah,
very good.
Lots and lots of festivals.
All right, listen, Mark, thanks a million for dropping in.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah. And by the way, have you ever done any of these things? Have you been at these? I know you've been at every Irish one. Have you done any of these ones?
Yeah, I've been to a good few of them. I went to Cuba to one of the most dangerous festivals I've ever seen in my life, Los Remedios. It's on Stephen's Day, and it's a fireworks fight. And there was an old guy there who only had one eye, and he was telling me, I lost my eye when I was in my 20s.
I was just going to say, casualties guaranteed.
Yeah.
Good man, Mark. Thanks a million.
Thanks very much, Dave. Dave Fanning on 2FM.